Hello everyone and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Katowska and I will be your host. This is the UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of study, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, fitness fads, and more. We will be answering your questions, we will have guest speakers, and what's most important, we will exercise together. Yes, you heard me right. In every episode, we will have a healthy dose of exercises that we will do together. So we won't just talk about fit life, we will actually experience the fit life together. Are you ready? Then let's go! Body image isn't just a woman's problem. Many research shows that a surprisingly high proportion of men are dissatisfied with their appearance. Body dysmorphic disorder affects as many men as women and consists of a preoccupation with an imagined or slight defect in appearance that causes clinically significant distress or impairment in functioning. Although the symptoms of body dysmorphic disorder might sound trivial, high proportion of patients require admission to hospital, become housebound, and attempt suicide. Today, we will speak to Jeff Cox about body dysmorphia and men's mental health. Jeff is an executive producer and show director in the fashion industry who has worked with multitude of international and British brands. Jeff founded the Education Partnership Initiative Program and spearheaded the charity fundraising for both the Top Model Worldwide organization and Fashion London. In 2021, Jeff celebrated 20 years in the fashion industry and 35 years in events. Jeff, welcome to the show. Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm all right, not too bad. I didn't welcome you, so welcome, welcome again. I'm very happy to have you, but this time we're going to speak about, I think, an unusual topic, and I am actually super excited for that and very, very appreciative because I think you're going to agree with me speaking about men's mental health. Doesn't happen too often.
No, it's a pleasure to be with you again as well. Obviously, you do some fabulous challenging subjects on your show, and I think it's really important because not enough people talk about particularly mental health and men as well. Men's mental health is probably a bigger challenge than many.
Yeah, and I had just recently a little bit of conversation about my show with CEO, and you know, there's a lot of men listening to this show, so I'm very glad to speak about it because I don't want to feel like they are left out or they on their own, or you know, it's only female to female conversation here, or we focusing on females. No, that's not the case, and I'm very glad to have you and you know my 1.2 million listeners to be able to actually hopefully get something out of today's show, which is body dysmorphia and men's mental health.
It's my pleasure to be with you, and they're tough subjects and ones that I've directly experienced, so if I can give some support to just one person, then obviously it's worth talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I remember you sent me that little post of yours about men's mental health, body dysmorphia that you've experienced. And that's why for a person like yourself, which is a public person, to speak about it openly on your platforms, I think it takes a lot of courage, but also it builds awareness. So Jeff, tell us more about, we know a little bit about yourself from your professional side of your business, but who is Jeff?
I'm a small town boy that's worked his way up the ladder and does a job that he loves. It's that simple. I mean, I'm very blessed to work in an industry that can be very glamorous, is also very challenging, but I get to meet some amazing people. Mm-hmm. I get to meet some very challenging people as well. But isn't that life? And I'm just somebody that has had a good career and is still enjoying that career, and long may it continue. And try and get the best out of a good work and personal life balance, which hasn't always been the case.
Mm-hmm. So, how would you call your industry that you're in?
Well, I'm predominantly in the fashion industry. It's a creative industry because although I don't have a background in fashion, I have a background in events, which I've been doing for 30, 35 years. So I'm very much a show producer. Now, I'm a show producer in the fashion industry now, whereas before I would do lots of different types of events and shows. But for the last 20 years, I've been working specifically in the fashion industry. So I'm the guy in the background that tries to make things happen and make things work. And let other people take the glory, which I'm more than happy with.
So why have you chosen the fashion, entertainment, modeling industry as your main work focus?
Well, again, the modelling side of it is just part of the industry and the shows that I've got into. I started off when I was 17 with my first event. I just ran a local night and local disco for teenagers, and that went really well. And then I went into running a lot more nightclub events, and I did my first fashion show event in about 22, 23 years ago when I was involved in the launch of a new BMW 1 series for their national launch. And it's the first fashion show I'd done and really enjoyed it. And obviously now I've produced 12, 13 seasons of London Fashion Week shows, as well as obviously now entering into the 15th year of the Top Model brand. So it's I think it's just transferable skills. Like many people listening to this would appreciate that you can do different types of jobs with a certain skill set. And my background allows me to, what I hope, produce good shows. But that is predominantly what I do. So the model and fashion side of it is really just the market that I work in many ways.
Mm-hmm. So would you say, or how, working in your industry affects your mental health? Does it affect it? Does it have any impact?
I think it most definitely does. It does from the point of view of you are surrounded often by some very false images, and the expectations are very high, and those expectations always evolve around beauty or looks and image. And sometimes you find yourself unrealistically comparing yourself to people or levels which are not achievable. So I think that point of view, a lot of people are affected by negative mental health. But there are lots of ways of addressing that. And that just comes with experience, really.
So how, you know, when you deal with young men out there, I would direct it to men. Do you sometimes have to encourage them or help them? I know that you've created some mental health men's group during the COVID. Is that something that you can see during the show happening during your industry when you work?
I've seen it both in the industry and in my everyday life. And I started the mental health group for very selfish reasons to start with, because I felt my own moods swinging, and I felt my own isolation was really challenging for me, and there wasn't anything. I did a lot of searching, and there wasn't anything that I could go to during the day that could break up my day, where I could just meet other men and just chat. And it wasn't necessarily about being mentally ill at that time, but it's more as much about positive mental health, about feeding you and giving you what you need in that kind of stimulation. And I think it's also difficult for guys to make new friends more so than girls. And I don't mean that in a sexist way. I just think it's just the way that nature is. Guys don't tend to go up and start chatting to guys, whereas women will often get in a conversation and they'll speak to somebody else. It's just a natural gift that you guys have. And I don't think that for men, I think that's a lot more challenging. So then you're not only becoming more isolated, but you're then not really meeting new people. And the more isolated you become, the more isolated you become. And it just becomes a slippery slope. So I started the group, and it started off slowly, but it's something that that I'm very proud of. It's not running at the moment because we're just coming off the back of COVID and for obvious reasons, but I do plan to restart it. And certainly it's taught me a lot, which also now enables me to pass on that experience when I'm speaking to men or young men coming into the industry, because you can just look at them and the way they look at themselves, and you can see there's a lot of bravado. You can see there's a lot of, you know, false confidence and not, I wouldn't say showing off, but just obviously they feel they need to play a certain role, and you just look at them and you just know that inside that is not how they're feeling. And I think that maybe gives you a little bit of experience to be able to go up to them and say, look, you know, how are you doing, what do you think of the show, and just get in a conversation. I think once you start the conversation, I think a lot of people, are a lot of men as well, will engage. Some won't, because that's just the way they are, and obviously they've got a tougher brick wall. But I think a lot of men will engage, and young men as well.
Right. So you mentioned the reason why you started to speak about the men's mental health is because of the lockdown. So is there any other reason why would you start to this form of group or support about the challenges with the self-image and body dysmorphia? Or is just the lockdown, was the lockdown the main reason for that? Or is there anything at the background as well?
No, absolutely. The lockdown was purely the motivation to do it, because I'd noticed that things had got worse. But up until that point, I personally had been affected by my own negative mental health and negative feelings about my own body image. I'm older than a lot of the people in the industry, and that's where I refer back to what I said. You can sometimes look at people with unrealistic expectations. I'm surrounded by handsome, beautiful guys who look after themselves, working out and things like that, that are 19, 20, up to 25, you know, more than 20 years younger than me. So you have to then address those unrealistic expectations. And once you start to maybe look at yourself differently and more positively, then you don't make those comparisons. And that in itself is a really good part of the healing process.
You know, you mention and you speak about body dysmorphia. How would you describe the body dysmorphia in your own words? What happened with you, and how do you see it in the men's community?
Body dysmorphia as a condition is basically a mental health condition where a person spends a lot of time worrying about flaws in their own appearance. And these flaws are often unnoticeable to other people. I mean, you can have a strong belief that you have a defect in your appearance that makes you ugly or somehow different, and a belief that others take special notice of your appearance in a negative way or mock you. You know, that it can be quite destructive. And again, you become so self-conscious. And I think the industry has played a big part in that. And you make us, because you're suddenly surrounded by these people that have these incredibly high standards, that they are in the modeling industry because they are the elite. Oh, sorry about that. Because they are the elite and they can attain those standards. I'm not a model. I'm not an ex-model. I'm a show producer. But if you are surrounded by those kind of people enough, it does start to rub off. And you start to look at yourself very negatively. And when I did that post that you mentioned earlier, I actually sent it to a few friends and said, look, what do you think? I'm thinking of doing this. And I would say the majority of them, the men particularly, tried to discourage me from doing it. And I think there is that fear that you're leaving yourself open to X, Y, Z if you expose your own flaws. And that, again, gets to the heart of the problem. And yet 100% of the women I sent it to said, absolutely do it. Mm-hmm. You should absolutely do that. It really needs it. So obviously they are also seeing the effect in maybe their men, or in their brothers and family and partners where they're not maybe addressing things. So somebody has got to stick their head up above the crowd and just say, look, this is okay. And I did get a couple of negative comments, which I deleted because I don't think that's healthy, but the vast majority was very positive. And I think that's the thing that you have to hold on to.
That's correct. Well, I fully agree. Because we do talk about body dysmorphia within the female world, and that's something more of a, I would say, common subject these days. But this is the first time when I'm hearing men speaking about, you know, body dysmorphia. And so that's why that intrigued me to talk more about also the subject on the show, and now about the group that you've created. So how many members have you had in that mental health group that you've created during lockdown?
It was a weekly group, and we actually physically met up, so it wasn't a chat group, which is why we obviously stopped it during lockdown. I think physically meeting up is really important. It's, you know, Zoom and things like that have been hugely successful during lockdown for people to be able to communicate and meet up. But I think it's so important to actually meet face to face and chat. I think we had about 15 to 20 regular people that came, plus a few others, and some people would come and go. Maybe it wasn't for them because maybe it was too challenging, but we wouldn't sit around in a circle sort of analyzing each other. It was a chat. We were chatting, we were just talking. It was as much about friendship and being together as it was anything else. And it was growing. You know, I always thought, well, if I could get 10 people coming, I'd be really pleased, because that's 9 other people that are in the same situation as me. So when we kind of got to 20 and it was expanding, mm-hmm. it was kind of getting a bit big for me to just do on my own, because I'm not a mental health professional. I was just a guy that wanted to do something for me that would also hopefully benefit other people. And it obviously was. And it was, which is why I want to restart it again at some point, because I think that journey is really important, and a shared journey is so much easier.
Mm-hmm. When did you realize that you start to have that problem, which is body dysmorphia? Was it a recent thing, or was it appearing throughout the years? Could you pinpoint any, like, the genesis of it?
Well, I don't remember having any issues up to about 15 years ago, 12 years ago, something like that, when I was in my 30s. I didn't have any issues then at all. So for some reason, maybe as I've got that little bit older, and like many men, you know, I wasn't looking after myself particularly well, and I was in an industry where people were really looking after themselves. And I think your mental health can be affected by so many things, and I think that's one of the things that I began to focus on, because it was one thing that was constantly with me. And then I had a period of 9 months where I had some losses which hit me quite hard, and I hadn't been or haven't been coping with those particularly well. And I think then they really emphasized the issue, and I became a little bit more isolated. And literally the only time I left the office or went to events was my own event, the shows that I was running, and I would go there and put on a brave face, mm-hmm. And just do my job and switch into that. So I suppose my work in many ways became my safe space, because that's where I felt the most confident. That's where I felt that my abilities were so much stronger. But away from that, it was a real struggle, and continues to be, because I think that mental health doesn't always leave us, whoever we are. I think it's always there as a little niggling gremlin in the background, and I think it's how we address it and how we deal with the awareness of that. And I think denial is as big a problem as anything else. Once you start to realize or admit or face that you might have a problem or an issue, that's the start of the journey. Until you do that, it's almost impossible to make any changes.
That's correct. Have you seek for any help, professional help, or perhaps maybe family members, friends, or did you actually unpack it yourself?
No, I did have some counselling, but the counselling was more to do with the grief from the losses. Right. And it was through that I started to realise that there were other things affecting me as well. And however shallow it might be, but weight had become an issue. I mean, I was the heaviest I'd ever been. I thought I was happy, but I was very unhappy with myself. And it even got to the point, some people may be able to relate to this, but it even got to the point when I was walking past shops, I wouldn't even look in the window because I could see a reflection. It got that negative. Not to the point where I would have done anything silly, you know, life ending or anything like that. I never had thoughts like that, but it was all a lot of very dark days, you know, quite depressed some days, where I would just sort of just get on with things and not really want to mix with people. And that was a real struggle. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm actually a very sociable person. I like to be in groups. I like to be a social butterfly and chat to everybody, however old they are, whatever sex they are. I'm really interested in people. So that was a real struggle because it was totally alien to how I naturally want to be and am. So the counselling was a big help. But I lost my mum, and then a friend of mine committed suicide not long after. Then somebody else who I know closely tried to commit suicide. And it was a horrible period, and I took those really hard, and it really made me reevaluate life, which is the shock to the system I needed in many ways to sort of almost kick myself and say, Jeff, you really need to do something about it because you're so unhappy.
Mm-hmm. Well, before any other question, I just want to, you know, thank you for sharing that, because I think that's brave for a man to share those form of feelings, because we women are talking about it more openly, but for a man to share that, I think it takes balls.
don't you like me though think it's sad that in 2021 that we can't talk about it, that we can't
that's why I'm very glad for this conversation to have with a male representative who is not afraid to say, yeah, I go counseling, because you know there's so many men that unfortunately won't do it still 21st century. And
well, I mean, you look across the pond to America, to our friends in the United States. If you don't have a therapist, you're nobody. Everybody has a therapist. So I don't know what it is about. I don't know about in Europe, and I don't know what the attitude is in other countries, but I just think in England we have this thing where asking for help is a weakness. And to be honest, it's weaker to be in denial and destroy yourself and sometimes the life around you and hurt the people around you than it is to actually try and resolve your issues.
And that's right. But this, like I said, still, I just don't understand when I hear men saying, no, I don't go counseling. No, I don't think it's going to help. Why wouldn't you try? You know,
just try. If it's not for you, it's not for you. And I've always said to people that when they've said, oh, I've had counseling, but it wasn't for me, I said, okay, that's fine. Maybe you just had the wrong counselor. Because that's the thing too. You've got to find somebody that you connect with. And it could be a friend. And the friend that I mentioned to you, who obviously I'm not going to name, who tried to take his own life, I speak to him a lot more now than I ever did. And I was quite disappointed that I didn't see that coming. And yet, how could I have seen that coming? He wasn't sharing. So now I make sure that he and I are in touch and we see each other whenever we can. And he's in a better place. And if I can play a small part in that, then that's amazing. You know, and I can't do anything about my friend that took his own life. But I can do something about anybody that might be in a dark place and just wants some reassurance or just wants to be encouraged or just wants somebody to listen. And listening is so important. And men don't do it. You guys are so good at it. Men just don't listen. Just stop talking for a moment, actually listen and have a communication. And I think that just makes a world of difference to so many people.
Yeah, we have that saying back home that, you know, speaking is like silver, but listening is like gold. Like, you know, it's extremely important and it's extremely difficult to actually be active listener. Meaning, like, you know, I can sit in the room.
I've not heard that before. I'm going to steal that, Natalia.
Yeah, the saying has more sense when you hear it in my language, which is Polish. But obviously, that's something that I always try to translate it. Like when you speak, it's like a silver, but when you listen, it's like a gold.
Yes.
So, you know, like I say, active listening, because you might be sitting in the room and be just passive listener, or you might just be switched off. But someone who listens with actually understanding and then trying to give you any form of not necessarily always advice, but support, that is something that is, I think, extremely needed and beneficial in this world. So, you know, you've mentioned about
some people just find it therapeutic speaking. So if they're speaking and you're listening, that's all you need to do.
That's all
you need to do. You know,
you've mentioned about the lockdown. You've mentioned about now, you know, about your mom passing away, your friend due to suicide. That must be, you know, I would say traumatizing experiences. And
it was. There's no other way to put it. I mean, my mom had been, she had dementia. And she'd basically been dying for 5 years. She hadn't known who I was for 2 years. And every time I left her, I said a proper goodbye in case it was the last time. And I thought I was prepared for losing her. And when she eventually went, it just swiped me. It just took the legs out from under me. And it shocked me that I was so unprepared when I thought I was so prepared. And I think that, as much as anything, was a catalyst for me eventually to just say, this isn't right. This isn't working. You know, there's something not good here. And I'm still working through that. That's still a challenge. So as part of that, I'm working more on myself and a bit more self-care and a bit more self-love. And I think that's a big issue as well, learning to take more care of yourself, which I haven't been doing or wasn't doing.
Right, right. And if I may ask, that your friend that died due to suicide, was he also from the industry, or did he suffer before? Did you have any clues, or was he just?
He was bipolar. He was mentally ill, but he'd just written a book. He wasn't from the industry, no. But he'd just written a book, and it was on Amazon, and he was starting to rekindle, you know, a new life, having worked in a previous industry. And it was a shock. Even though he was ill, I didn't think he was in that situation. And I had a lot of guilt over that as well, because I wondered whether I could have done more. And I think that kind of eats away at you as well. So I know I couldn't now, but at the time, I think it's a natural question that people might ask themselves, could I have done something?
Yeah, unfortunately, I can relate to that, because that guilt is horrible feeling that accompany you when something goes wrong in life, and you feel, maybe if I've done this or that this way, that wouldn't happen. But
yeah,
it's important to understand that the guilt is not on. It shouldn't be on us. It shouldn't be our side. But that's also something to work with. Perhaps I do work with it. On this with therapists in the past, where it's very difficult feeling to get over, get rid of, you know. I think it is a constant challenge, constant work every day.
Absolutely. And the good thing about therapy and counseling as well is that you can get referred on the NHS now. It doesn't have to be expensive. I know that, you know, obviously there's waiting lists for everything at the moment, but you don't have to go privately, or you don't have to pay a lot of money for it. So it is available to everyone. So I don't want people to be scared by it. The thought of having counseling, and you're in a room, it's private, it's strictly confidential, and you're just talking, and you'll be amazed, the guys that I've spoken to that have had counseling successfully, that absolutely swore by it now. They absolutely say, it was the best thing I could have done. I'm glad I did it. I don't know why I didn't do it sooner. I've heard that line so many times from guys that have found it helpful. And I think that's really important that people know that it's just have a leap of faith. And all you're doing is investing time in yourself.
That's correct.
That's all you're doing.
So a little few words of encouragement to our men out there. Please don't be ashamed to reach out for help. Any help.
Absolutely.
Counseling, friend help, our platforms, yours, mine, even sometimes, like I always say to people, even Instagram, just a few words of encouragement can change a lot.
And also something that's really important, and it's something that I've learned both through the fashion and model industries and through life, and certainly through this most recent experience. And this has been a really valuable lesson for me, that if you take a risk and share that with somebody and they either mock you or they joke or they don't take it seriously, cut them out of your life. Mm-hmm. They are not there for you. They are a negative influence in your life, and it's poisonous. And unfortunately, it's sometimes really hard, but some people just are negative, or they drag you down, or that they're not actually interested. The people that really love you or really care about you will just listen and encourage you to do what you need to do. And it's so, you come across so many toxic people, and I have in my industry. I'm very blessed that designers, models, and the people I work with, the creative makeup artists, they often say, oh, you know, what a great show it was, really lovely people to work with, I really like this, I really like that. That isn't coincidence. That is something that I've intentionally created, because I want to surround myself with good professional people, you know. And there are enough people that are very negative, and they're always moaning and always complaining. I don't need the drama. I want to put on a good show that everybody enjoys, that I can also enjoy doing. And it's the same for mental health. If somebody isn't supportive of you, then unfortunately you have to make a tough decision. And that tough decision is often deciding if they're the right person to have in your life, because that can often be as big an influence as anything.
That's correct. I do think you have.
I know it sounds very harsh, but it's one thing I've learned.
Yeah, I do think you have to choose carefully your surrounding, your circle, and protect your energy. Protect yes. your own energy. Sometimes there's not much we can do when it comes to our own family members, but no. if you can change surrounding, meaning maybe perhaps work, maybe you can change something or disconnect or manage your own environment that you're with on a daily basis. That is also a very important thing. Protect your own energy. So what do you do when you feel, I would say, emotionally drained or mentally unwell or just simply depressed? What is your recipe or simply what's your action?
Well, I was going around in a vicious circle like many people do, and I wasn't snapping out of it, and particularly after lost mum. So I'd focused on the body dysmorphia and that my weight and everything is a negative thing for so long. So I decided to embrace it as a positive thing. So I tried lots of diets and things like that. And I went on the usual advertised ones, and they kind of work briefly, but they're not really, you know, they're not long term things. And so it was more about a lifestyle change. And I would never have thought about this years ago. I'm an old guy compared to you lot. I mean, I embrace apps and I embrace the modern technology as much as anyone. And I literally got an app that monitored what I was eating. And I noticed some of my bad habits, and I've tried to get out those bad habits and actually made some lifestyle changes. And in the last 2 months, I've lost 23 pounds.
Wow.
Just by making changes. People said to me, you pick too much, you shouldn't pick. I said, well, I'm a picker, so I need to pick better. Mm-hmm. So I don't eat bags of crisps now. I'll pick on something a lot healthier. I've discovered little pots of jelly that are 5 calories, and I'll have 2 or 3 of those, and they're very satisfying. And that's, you know, it's just little changes. And that's without even starting to exercise yet. So that's before you guys start on me and say, right, Jeff, you need to start exercising, you need to start doing this. But I feel so much better. And I didn't realize how bad it was until I started to lose some weight. Mm-hmm. And take better care of myself, and that's all my own doing. I it was my own doing that I wasn't taking good care of myself, mentally or physically, and I really do believe the two go hand in hand.
Yeah, I do agree. And is your wife there with you in that process? Is she supporting you? Actually, do you need that support, or is something that you want to do on your own? Because sometimes, you know, we do need someone to be there for us, but I perhaps sometimes need to grow and get to that moment when, you know what, that's my own journey. Let me do it on my own. I need to face it.
It has been my own journey. Yeah, it has been my own journey and continues to be my own journey. But obviously there's always people there in the background that are supportive or some people that aren't. So that's very much my journey. You have to do it for yourself. That is the absolute number one most important thing in my book. When people said to you, why did you want to lose weight? I said, for me, to make myself want to feel better. I wanted to look nice, so I didn't like the way I looked. And they can't argue with that. If you're doing it for yourself, I'm not doing it to impress anyone. I'm not doing it because of my job. I'm not doing it because of the industry or any demands on me. I'm just doing it because I wanted to feel better. Mm-hmm. And it's working.
And it's working. Tell me, do you feel proud of yourself, or do you feel any form of satisfaction of doing this and seeing results?
Yes. I feel so, well, I'm my own worst critic, and sometimes my own worst enemy, as I'm sure many people are. But yes, I do. When I think about what I've done so far, I it does make me feel nice. It's a nice feeling. And I think if you can give yourself a good feeling for anything you do in life, and, you know, just other people. And I was chatting to somebody the other day, and they were telling me about something that happened, and I was sitting there listening and talking away to them. And when I finished, the person I was with said, I couldn't do that. So what do you mean? So I was just chatting with this person. I said, well, that person was so engaged with you. You were just having a conversation with them. It was quite obvious that they were listening to you. And I just think that if you've got something positive that you can give the world, I think you should give it. And if it's negative, you try and address it the best you can. That's all I'm doing. I identified what was making me sad or what was making me feel low, and I'm trying to do something about it. We have to make the changes. We can't rely on other people to do it for us. You know, other people can help us, but we have to do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So what would be your advice to other men how to cope, deal with negative self-image?
Oh, that's a million-dollar question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So many of these things relate to our background, our own self-esteem, how other people have treated us in the past. I've mentioned therapy and counseling a couple of times. It can be a huge help, but you've got to be open to it. You need to go and want to help yourself. Want to get better is the phrase that the therapists use, but you've got to want to help yourself. If you don't want to help yourself, or if you just want to go around blaming everybody else and being angry, you need to deal with that first. And then you can start dealing with your mental health as well. The doctor said to me about putting me on antidepressants. I said, I'm not depressed, I'm sad. Mm-hmm. And it's different. I'm sad and I'm a bit lonely, a bit isolated. I don't particularly like myself. I'm not depressed. These things could make me depressed, but I think it's very easy to throw drugs at things. And it's a beautiful world. And I just think that we need to be kinder to ourselves. And we're trying to learn to be kinder to each other after lockdown. And I'm hoping a lot of those things continue now we're coming out of lockdown. But you have to be kind to yourself. And I hadn't been kind to myself for a long time. I was too busy worrying about everybody else.
It's crazy, right? How we don't have that ability, or it's very difficult for us to be kind to ourselves, our bodies, our mental health. How weird. I just found it fascinating. Just be nice to your own self, Natalia. And sometimes it's the toughest task to do.
Yeah, I quite agree. But it is difficult. We even have to challenge ourselves to be nice to each other. Our lives are so busy now. I thought it was quite funny when social media went down recently, and Facebook and Instagram, and mm-hmm. they all stopped working. And I'm sitting there thinking, who should I call? and I just, you know, and it was lovely. I just put my phone on charge once I realised what was going on. And then I woke up the next morning, it'd come back on and it all starts again. But actually, I sat and watched a movie with my friends, and, you know, nobody was on their phone. It was lovely.
I think, you know, at the beginning I was thinking, oh damn, my phone is not working, it's broken.
Yeah, that was my reaction too.
Yeah, I didn't, I figured it out, I'll find out that this is actually the crash. And you know what? And I was like relieved, and I called my mom just for her not to worry. And I said, hey, we have to go back to the old school ways, meaning text messages and calls.
Yeah.
So hearing someone on a FaceTime, and I'm like, yeah, that's fine. That's what it was not even that long time ago.
No, there were no iPhones and phones.
So, you know, perfectly fine. No social media. We should be doing this every month, perhaps. There should be like a detox weekend or something like that.
I was just about to say that. I think everyone, just once a month for a weekend, instead of a detox, a social media detox.
Media crash, please do it.
Yes, and it's also lovely to be able to communicate just generally with people outside of social media. I use it a lot in my work, and WhatsApp particularly. It's a great way to communicate with groups of people at the same time. But but we must all remember a very a Polish woman that I have a lot of respect for and love dearly once told me quite recently that talking is silver and listening is gold. I think that's really important.
it is, you know, like I always have those little sayings that I remember that my mom was repeating, and as much as I can fight with her sometimes, because we just two similar personalities, she says sometimes those things that just stays in your head. And just because you mention about your mom, and you know, it's so important.
Yeah, that's gonna stay with me.
Yeah, live in the moment and just appreciate the people and just love them. Yeah. And make sure always you ask everyone, even if it's sometimes difficult. Because it is difficult for me sometimes. I'm more of an introvert to go around and be like, you okay? How are you? Like, generally, you know, not just like just to do it because that's the polite way to do it. Just to take a moment, look into someone's eyes, grab their shoulder and be like, are you okay today? You good? Okay.
Yeah. All right. How you doing? Yeah, how you doing? quick hug, you know.
Not just like, how are you
How are you
doing?
doing?
Just pass by. Just, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Stop for a
Yeah.
moment, look, and okay. All right.
It's just the look on some of my male friends' faces when I hug them. I say, hi, how are you doing? And give them a hug. And they kind of, the first time they stand there with their arms kind of stiff. Oh, what's he doing?
Yeah.
Two or three times they hug you back.
Yeah.
I just think this is okay. This is normal. Just to, for guys to say, hi, how you doing? And have a, you know, give them a hug. It's,
yes,
I don't, it is nothing more than just a welcome. It's friendship. It's much nicer than shaking hands.
Yeah, I think body touch, body, feeling someone's body, and don't take it in the wrong way, but body hit.
No, of course, yeah.
It's something very energizing, very, very, I don't know even how to describe it with the words, but something magical happened with the hugs. Something
it's
there in the hug that just makes your body go like,
it's
woo.
A connection. It's the connection. It's a connection with another person. We are naturally connected people as human beings, and we've become more and more isolated. And I think the more we connect, the more we get from that connection, and the more we are able to connect, and then everybody's then, you know, improving. And I think it's just a nicer way to live. And unfortunately, thankfully, I'm discovering it while there's plenty of time to still be able to connect, you know, where my issues have laid, and that I'm able to hopefully resolve them and pass on some of that experience to other people.
Of course. So where is your mental health at this moment? How are you feeling right now? And, well, right now, you know, in this particular moment?
As I said very early on, it never leaves you. But I'm actually in a pretty good place. As I said, the weight loss is certainly helping. That might sound like quite a superficial thing, but when you look at yourself negatively, it's not a superficial thing. It's something that's quite important to me. I don't want to have a six pack. I don't want to be stupidly skinny. I am who I am. I just wanted to be in better condition. And that has positively affected my mental health. I'm doing okay. And that's, you know, doing okay is better than I used to do. So if you can improve, and if you're doing better today than you did yesterday, then you're a winner, aren't you? You're making progress, and I'm in a good place. When I think back to where I was 6 months ago, I'm in a much better place. So and I will have dark days, but now when I have dark days, I don't shut myself away. I'll message someone, I'll go for a walk, and I'll ring somebody up and say, how are you doing? And they kind of think, what do you need? What do you want? No, don't want anything. I rang one of my friends last night. Okay, what are you ringing for? Nothing. And we just chatted about, he'd watched Star Wars, and his other half was away, and we chatted for about an hour. We just chatted. That's it. And I think that is so healthy to do that. And I think sometimes we've lost the art of that.
Right. Any few words of your wisdom to other men out there, encouragement words, anything?
If you're feeling negative, if you're feeling sad, you don't have to feel that way. Pick up the phone, talk to somebody. You could got access to lots of things online now. Google it. You know, share, if you know somebody that's feeling low, share something with them, give them a call, pick up the phone. If you're not feeling right, you pick up the phone and give someone a call. You don't have to say to them, oh, I'm feeling really low. You don't have to, just ring them and have a chat, and you may feel better. But it's, don't sit in a dark corner and let it take control of you, because it does take control of you. I've been there, and it's horrible. And if you're feeling that way, just pick up the phone and call somebody, have a chat. And it's a real, and it can make a big difference. It can really make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And that's advice from men to a man, not even from a woman. It doesn't come from a woman. It comes from a man. So all my men out there, listen and try to take some notes.
Been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for sharing, being open enough and brave to share your personal journey and giving those words out there of wisdom and, you know, experience. I think that's the most important thing, experience that shapes us and help us to learn and grow. So thank you again. I will
My
see
pleasure.
You
keep doing you keep doing an amazing job, Natalia.
I'm trying, just like yourself, you know. The most important thing is just... One step at a time.
One day at a time.
Forward, exactly. and we will see each other very soon. And thank you so much, and all the best to your
my pleasure. And you take care.
Health journey. Yeah. Thank you.
And I wish good mental health to all your listeners.
Thank you so much. We all wish that to you all, guys. Bye bye. Thank you.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
Okay, team. And so now it's time for our short workout together. I will have for you three exercises today. We're going to work for 45 seconds and you have 15 seconds rest in between. We are going to do three sets of those exercises. So bear with me and pay attention. First one, we're going to go for jump squat. So a little bit of cardio, we're going to stand nice and tall, you're going to jump as high as possible, use both of your feet, and you're going to tap your feet in the air while you're landing. Try to land as soft as possible, starting with your toes, both of your feet, then you're going to your heels. And one more time, jump as high as you can, so we're engaging our lower body, use your arms to give you that momentum, and while you're landing, you land on your toes, both of your feet. Try to be very light. Make sure your bum goes deep and low, so try to squat with it deeply, all right? If you have a problem with this exercise, remember you always can go and see the video on my Instagram, Fitness with NK, or UK Health Radio. That's your exercise number one. Number two, we're going to move to plank climbers. So a little bit of core and upper body strength. You're going to be in your plank position on your elbows. And then now what we're going to do, we're going to walk our feet towards our elbows, as close to your tricep, your elbows, as possible. Your bum stays low, your knees goes as close. If possible, please touch your tricep or your arms with your knees. Keep your bum as deep, as low as possible, and engage your core. Again, the video is there for you as a reference to see exactly how to do it. So 45 seconds of your plank climbers, and then you get your 15 seconds rest. And as last one, we're going to do push-ups, team. Now I'm going to show you two different variations. You have regular push-up, so try to keep your hands close to your chest, okay? Not too wide. Engage your core, and you're going to go all the way down and all the way up. Full push-up. Don't try to cut it short. Try to go as deep to the floor as you can. Now, if that's too difficult, that's perfectly fine. You can start with plank push-up. So you stay in your plank position, just like a push-up position. You're going to go all the way down with your chest. Then you're going to drop your knees to the floor, and you're going to push all the way up back to your plank. So one more time, all the way down to your push-up position. Then you're going to drop your knees, keep your bum low, belly button in, and push your body all the way up to the plank position. I know it sounds probably too complicated why I speak about it, but remember, videos are there for you as a reference. So visit my Instagram, visit UK Health Radio Instagram, and you're going to be able to see how to do it exactly. If you have any questions, you always can contact me. Remember, DM me or send me a message on my website or on Fitness with NK, and I can always advise you, answer to all your questions. Film yourself if you can, post it on your Instagram, or perhaps you can send it to me so I can give you any form of advice or tips. Thank you so much, team, for working out with us. Thank you so much for being with me, and I will see you next time. Although body dysmorphic disorder has been described for over a century and reported around the world, it still remains underdiagnosed and underrecognized. Men and boys are often reluctant to reveal their symptoms because of embarrassment and shame. I hope you enjoyed today's episode as well as our short workout together. Share with me your thoughts, comments, DM me with your life stories. If you have any question you would like me to talk about or any particular subject, please contact me. Follow me on Instagram, Fitness with NK, where you can leave your message. Make sure you visit my website, www.nataliakotowska, for more information. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.